Today we're going to begin a brand new sermon series, and we're going to be talking about this idea of first love. We're going to study this for 4 weeks, and we're going to talk about making Jesus your first love. But kind of the background for this series is the book of 1 John. We're studying 1 John and looking at 1 John. But before we jump into it, just want to let you know we had the Eternity production this last weekend. It was last many days. It's all a big blur now in my mind. But for the last many days, and really what was happening during Eternity, you might have seen what happened out front, but backstage some other things were happening. Here's a little glimpse of backstage for Eternity and some Jesus, things that were going on. Jesus always wins. Amen? Always. Absolutely always. Always wins. So we're talking about first love, and let's just talk about that for a second. The idea of love is really, really important. How many of you guys enjoy being loved? Just raise your hand. You enjoy being loved. Okay, excellent. Now, for Christians, love is a really important thing. For example, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain. When I stop, you guys jump in. Now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is the Bible also says, Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by your love. It's your love that tells others that you're a Christian. And then also in 1 John, we come to this verse in a couple weeks, but 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, for Christians, love is an incredibly important thing. To give love, to know God's love, to love each other is such an important thing. But we're not just studying about love. We're studying what I'm calling first love. Before I get to that, though, here's a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this. God does not love some ideal person, but rather human beings just as we are. Not in some ideal world, but rather in the real world. Here's the idea. God loves you. God loves you, not the ideal perfect you that you'll one day become. God loves you exactly as you are. Amen. God loves you, not in some ideal you, but the real you that you are today. We're talking this series about first love, and let me just ask you, what's your first thought when you hear that idea of first love? What's the first thing that pops in your mind? First love. I'll tell you, for me, the first thing that pops in my mind is Heather Davidson, 9-year-old girl that I knew when I was 10. She was in my class, my second grade class, and she had blonde hair, blue eyes, probably the most beautiful 9-year-old girl in the world at the time. I saw her across the room one day in class, and my heart began to beat a little faster. And she went to my church. My dad was her pastor. My parents knew her parents. And I just grew this fondness for her. And then one day we're at church on a Sunday night, and I was there, and she was there. And she walked up in this dainty little walk, and she passed me this note. Oh, yeah, baby. It was a love note. 10 years old, love note right here. So I got my love note, I read it, and how much she liked me, and how much she thought I was cute, and whatever it said, I don't remember. But anyway, it was my little love note, and I knew she liked me, and I like her, and she was like my first love. And then my parents made a decision to move to the Philippines to become missionaries and to go in that direction. And so we had our last night before leaving the church, and it was a big service, Sunday night service, a big service, and a big send-off to my dad. And when that service ended, Heather Davidson walked up, blonde hair, boinging. As she walked up, and she came up real shy, and she said, Tom, I think before you leave, we should kiss. My heart began to beat, you know, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. I looked around for help. My mom wasn't there. My dad wasn't there. I went with my heart, and I said, okay, let's do it. We're right there in church, right in God's house. She looked back at me, and she said, okay, how do we do it? I said, I don't know. I was 10. She was 9. I took the lead. I said, I don't know. Let's close our eyes. She said, okay, let's close our eyes. And then I said, but if we close our eyes, we're not going to know what to do. She said, okay, let's just try it. I closed my eyes. I turned my head awkwardly and began going towards her with my lips. Didn't know how far away she was. And until finally, that magical moment when my lips hit her lips, and it seemed like fireworks were going off, and my heart was beating out of its chest. And I thought, wow, 10 years old, I'm moving to Asia, and I have my first kiss. How amazing. And then somebody across the room walked over, one of the church members. They said, hey, stop. I thought, oh, we got caught. And this is what he said. He said, listen, I've got my camera. If you do it again, I'll take your picture. So here's the big moment, right? We already did it once. I looked back at her, and I said, Heather, do you want to do it again? Her face got all red, you know, flushed. And she said, yeah, I want to do it again. By this time, I was a pro at kissing. So I turned my head the right way. We went in for that second kiss, and boom! My heart was beating rapidly. I don't know what you think about, but that's my image of first love. And I look at that now. Would I want my daughters to kiss a boy? No, absolutely not. But anyway, that's my looking back experience. But first love, how many of you, by the way, you have an experience kind of like that, where you remember having a crush on someone, maybe not kissing in church, which clearly is wrong, Ella. But how many of you have an experience, you remember that being having your first crush and having that first relationship? Well, the idea of first love isn't that. First love, this series is not about the first thing that you loved or the first person that you loved. This is about first in a different way. Here's the definition of first. Coming before all others in time, that's my first kiss experience, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about first coming before all others in importance. First being the most important thing. That means in your life and in my life, there should be something that is our first love, something we love above everything else. And I would bet for everyone in this room, there is something, whether we know what it is or not, whether we understand it, whether it should be or shouldn't be, there's something that we love more than we love everything else. First love. Revelation 2:4, Jesus is talking to the churches, and here's what he says. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your, say it with me, your first love. Here's the idea. There's something that should be our first love, and that is Jesus Christ. Do you agree? Raise your hand. Jesus Christ should be our first love, the most important love in our life. But just like Christ says here, we can forsake that first love. He needs to be our first love. We've got to look at life and say, Jesus must be my first love. More than anything else in my life, he should be what I love first. Let me just tell you that when Jesus, actually this could be the sermon series could be titled this, First Love, Making Jesus Your First Love, because that's what he has to be for our life to make sense. In fact, a lot of you right now in this room, a lot of people around the world, they recognize that something in their life is missing. Something isn't quite right. Something isn't the way that it should be. And let me just tell you, if Jesus is not your first love, your life is not going to make sense in the way that it should. You're going to feel like something's missing. Here's some examples of some famous people and what's missing in their life. This is Bernard Levin. He's a columnist for the London Times in England for years and years and years, was a columnist there. He had one column titled, The Emptiness of Life. Listen to what he says about how life is missing something. Here's what he says in the London Times. Countries like ours, England, America, Canada, Western nations, countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet lead lives of quiet and at times noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there's a hole inside of them. Here's what he's saying. People in the world that have everything they need, all their needs are met, they have blessing after blessing, they've got a happy family, they still know there's a hole inside of me. My life isn't right. There's an emptiness. Look what he says. It's so insightful. He's not a Christian. Look what he says, so insightful, the next part. And however much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches. There's something missing. When Jesus is not your first love, there's something missing. There's an emptiness in your life, and you may try and fill it with food or drink or more friends or a new love interest or something else, but Jesus has to be your first love, for you to not feel that emptiness that's there. Another person talking about this emptiness, Robert F. Kennedy. How many of you guys remember Robert F. Kennedy? He said this, so insightful is his quote. Everybody basically has an empty hole inside of them, and they try to fill it with money, drugs, alcohol, and power. That's what he's saying. There's a hole inside of you. And when that hole is there and you're feeling it, you try and fill it. With money, he says, money, drugs, alcohol, power, name the things people try and fill it with. But Jesus must be our first love. He must be, or we're going to feel an emptiness as we go through life. C.S. Lewis explains it to us very clearly why it is this way. This is in Mere Christianity. Here's what he says. God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on petrol or gas. And it would not properly run on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. Listen to what it says. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn. Here's what he's saying. God invented you. God created you. And your spirit is designed to run off of his Holy Spirit. And when you are, when Jesus is your first love, everything makes sense in your life. Everything works. But when you try and run off of any other fuel, romantic love, how much money you can get, your career, power that you can accumulate, when you try and run your life off of your love for a football team or a sport or a shopping adventure or whatever it might be, you're going to come back again and again to know something is missing. How many of you agree with me on this point? You agree with me on this? Absolutely. Let's talk about this idea of first love and what it's really all about. First love. The Bible tells us that when Jesus is our first love, when we surrender to him in this way, here's the idea, not rules, but relationship. It doesn't come down to following rules to know God. It comes down to a relationship. Now, in relationships, there are often rules. For example, in my family, we have a relationship. We love each other. My wife and I, my three daughters, we love each other, but there's rules in how we treat each other. One of my daughters recently kind of went outside the rules a little bit, and it was my daughter Olivia, my middle child, and the other day she looked at me, kind of looked me up and down, and recently I've lost a little bit of weight, and she said this. She said, "Dad, now that you're not fat anymore," that's how she began, "Dad, now that you're not fat anymore, you ought to start working out, get a six-pack and some muscles, dye your hair brown, and grow a beard, and then you'll be handsome." That's what she said, just like that. I was kidding, and I was like, "Olivia, let me get this straight. I've got to get a six-pack, get some muscles, dye my hair brown, and grow a beard, and then I'll be handsome." She's like, "Yeah, Dad. Mom might love you just like you are, but if you want to be handsome, do what I say." That's right. That's the rules of my family are we love each other, respect each other, and now I've got to like dye my hair, grow a beard. I will not look good with a beard, my friends. Let me tell you that. Here's the thing. In our relationship with God, it doesn't come down to following some rules. Be like this. Be like this. It begins with relationship. God loves us just where we are. His son came to earth and died for us just as we are. Now, as we love him, we change. We change to be more like him in that relationship, not just following rules. Here's number two. First love is not about intimidation. It's about intimacy. Some of you in this room, when you think about studying the Bible, here's my Bible right here. You think about studying the Bible, and you look at the Bible, and you think, wow, the Bible seems intimidating. I don't know how to study it. I don't know exactly how to get into it. Listen, it's not about intimidation. Maybe walking in this building, coming to church, was intimidating for you. I remember actually talking about this room when I was in college, and I said, if I walk in that room, the roof will fall down based on my lifestyle. And I did walk in. The roof didn't fall down, praise God. But maybe you're intimidated by coming to church or the Bible. But listen, it's not about intimidation. It's about intimacy with God. The Bible talks specifically about these things happening when we put Christ as our first love. True freedom. Full forgiveness from God, knowing that you're totally forgiven. Who here knows they have full forgiveness? Raise your hand. How many of you guys just know that that is an amazing blessing to know you are fully forgiven by God? First love means true freedom. First love means full forgiveness. First love means real purpose in your life, that your life matters. I was talking to my daughter Olivia again, different conversation where she wasn't telling me how to change my life. And my daughter was in eternity. She played the role of a grandchild, and she had some scripture to memorize. And one night after the eternity production, we were driving home, and I just said, "Olivia, how do you like eternity? How do you like being part of the eternity production?" She said, "Dad, I love it. I just love it." She said, "You know, Dad, I pray. I read my Bible. But now I feel like I really found a purpose in my life." You see, knowing Christ and stepping out and taking risks gives us real purpose in our life, to know that God is using us and that we have a purpose to be fully alive. That's the claim. Jesus says, "I came that you may have life and live it to the full," to be fully alive. That's what God promises. When we have Jesus as our first love, here's what we can look forward to: true freedom, full forgiveness, real purpose, and to be fully alive in a way that you maybe have never known before. What an amazing, amazing thing. Let's talk about this idea of first love. Here's the question: what could be my first love? Obviously, Pastor Tom, you said Jesus should be my first love, but what else could it be? What else could I love instead of Jesus? Here's some thoughts. You could make another person your first love. Could be a romantic love. How many guys right now, don't be shy. Don't be shy about this. Men or women, right now in this room, you would say, "I am romantically in love." Just raise your hand. Go ahead, raise your hand. Wives, look around. Make sure wives. Okay, good. Okay, good. Now, if you're a man here, you're in love, I just want you to say it. Just say, "I'm in love." Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. It's a powerful thing. Well, there's very few men I heard in this room. New sermon series, love and marriage. No, I'm just kidding. Right? And it's okay to be in love. It's great to be in love. Being in love is a wonderful thing, but you can't make another person your first love. A romantic love can never satisfy the needs that you have. It's not the fuel that your soul burns. Romantic love is wonderful, but it can't be your first love. Now you can do this. Rather than a romantic love being your first love, it could be your children. You can make your children your first love. Oh, they're adorable. They're wonderful. We love them so much. Who here loves their children? Raise your hand. Okay, it's good to love your children. Who here loves somebody else's children? Yeah, we love all children, right? It's great. It's great to love children. It's great to say children are wonderful and they're the future. You know, we have two amazing schools in the building, Sunshine School, Granville Christian Academy. We love kids. We love children and seeing them grow and develop. But listen, you can't make a child your first love. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't happen that way. And when a child, your child, somebody else's child, becomes your first love, you're destined for heartache. Another person, it could be a friend that you elevate to your first love. They're my best friend. I love my friend. They're most important to me. It doesn't work. Could easily be for many people. It's a rock star. You idolize a rock star. They're amazing. Or it's a pop star or a sports star. And when you make some star your first love, you're destined for heartache. It doesn't work that way. Some people, who do you make your first love? They make it yourself. You are your own first love. How many of you guys know somebody like that? I'm sure we all do, right? So that person you talk to and you're like, wow, they really like themselves, don't they? They really, really like themselves. They are their own first love. They have a hard time seeing anybody else's perspective. They have a hard time seeing anything else. They love themselves. They're their own first love. I don't think anybody in this room is in this category, but I'm just saying. Another idea of a first love could be a hobby. Some people play golf, and golf is definitely their first love, the thing they love most of all. A football team. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. I'm just going to go quickly over it, but that could be your first love as a football team, or it could be shopping. Several years ago, I was doing a wedding for a Denison student that I knew pretty well, and she lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she said, Pastor Tom, I want you to do my wedding, and I'm going to fly you up to Minneapolis, and you come. And I looked at the calendar, and I said, I can't do it. It's my anniversary. She said, Pastor Tom, my mom and dad will fly you and your wife up to Minneapolis. We'll put you in a hotel right by the Mall of America. And I thought, oh, great, Mall of America. And then you could do the wedding. After that, I said, you know what? Okay, I called Tracy. I'm like, hey, do you want to fly up to Mall of America? She's like, yes, yes, say yes. So I called back and said, okay, we'll do it, we'll do it. We flew up on the plane. We're there. We flew this airline. I forget what it's called, like Northeastern Airlines or something, and they're known for their chocolate chip cookies, and the stewardess brought them by. I'm like, oh, I get used to this. You know, it was kind of a nice time, and we were sitting by a bunch of people, and I was asking them, hey, you know, where are you going? Oh, we're going to the Mall of America. I said, oh, why is that? And she said, oh, we go twice a year. We go shopping. I said, you're flying all the way to Minnesota just to shop? She was from like Texas. She's like, oh yeah, shopping. It's like the most important thing in life. There it was. It was their first love had become shopping. For other people, it's a little darker, but a first love can certainly be an addiction. A first love can be alcohol. A first love can be drugs. I've heard someone say, you know, that the sound of a beer can opening is the sweetest sound in the world. It becomes an addiction. And that addiction is something that becomes your first love. We all know it can certainly be money. Christ talks about the love of money can become our first love. Certainly our career can become our first love and the thing that we love most. Let me ask you this. Ask yourself the question today, right now, what could be your first love? What is that thing that you love more than anything else in your life? What is it? Admit it to yourself. What is that thing? Maybe you don't know. Maybe it's tough to find out. Spend some time. Here, I'll help you. What could be your first love? Your first love could be anything. It's what's most important in your life. How do you know what your first love might be? Here's some questions. You arrange your schedule around it. There's a time in my life when I'll admit to you, and this is, I don't like admitting this, it was quite a number of years ago before I was married, when probably, undoubtedly, Ohio State football was the first love of my life. I would arrange my schedule around it. If it was game time, I was going to be at the game or at a party watching the game, and everything in my schedule was arranged around Ohio State football. I got married. My poor wife, here's Tracy's poor story. Tracy and I met in December, and we met in December. We got married in August, and so she likes to say, I never knew Tom during the football season. That's right. We got married. I mean, we're happily married. Things are great. We're married about 2 weeks, and it's a Saturday, and Ohio State's playing Penn State. I knew it all week. And she said, hey, Tom, the Strawberry Festival's coming up this weekend. I'm like, so? She's like, well, I thought we could go. And I was like, are you kidding me? We're going to go to the Strawberry Festival? Are you kidding? We're playing Penn State. This is ridiculous. She's like, you mean you choose football over me? I said, no, I'm choosing football over strawberries. That's the choice that I'm making. But, you know, I arranged my schedule around football. And here's number two. You have no problem spending lots of money. I had no problem dropping hundreds of dollars to go to an OSU game. I didn't own a house. I wasn't married yet. I was in that place in life. And you spend lots of money on your first love. If it's a person, you'll buy them anything. You spend lots of money. You have no problem spending lots of money on it. You arrange your schedule around it. Here's number three. Your thoughts consistently come back to it. Your mind goes back to it. It's your first love. It's that precious thing in your life that you're looking back to. What is it? What is your first love? Is it Jesus Christ? Is it a person? Is it a hobby? Is it an addiction? What is it? What is the first love in your life? C.S. Lewis talks about this first love idea, and he addresses something that you're probably wondering. You're probably thinking, Pastor Tom, but isn't it good to have your wife as your first love? Isn't it good to have your children as your first love or a friendship? Shouldn't it be that? Isn't that how it should be? C.S. Lewis in this book is called A Collection of Letters. He wrote a letter to a friend, and here's what he says. So insightful. Listen to what he says. When I've learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. Here's what he means. He's saying this really important thing. I know I've used this quote before, but I'm going to give you more of it than I ever have. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, when you learn to love God more than your first love on earth, you love your first love even more. For example, if I say my wife, there she is, Tracy. If I say my wife is my first love, but then I love God more than her, and I love God more than I love my wife more because I love God more. Here's a picture of my two younger kids. Actually, there's my dog. If I love him more. Those pictures are not in order, really. There's my two daughters. That's actually a screenshot of me FaceTiming them. I was in the Philippines. There I am in the corner. And I was in the Philippines so far from my little girls, and I couldn't talk to them. One day I got to FaceTime with them, and I took a screenshot because I was so excited to look at their little faces. But when I love God more, I can love my wife more. I can love my kids more. I can even love my dog more. I can love them more because I love God more. But there's a trap here. Listen to it. Insofar as we learn to love my earthly dearest at the expense of God, or instead of God, I put my earthly dearest in the place of God. Now, if I say this, I say, I think Jesus is important, but my wife is more important, I'm putting her in the place of God. Or if I say, I think football is important, and God's important, but football's more important, I'm putting football in the place of God, whatever it might be. We cannot allow anything but Jesus to be our first love. Now listen to the last line of this quote. This is so insightful. Listen to this. C.S. Lewis says, when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. Understand, when you put first things first and you love Jesus first, that means your second thing, your wife, your children, your friends, your hobbies, they can be increased. They're not suppressed. They can be even increased because first things are put first. Maybe you're wondering this, Pastor Tom, can Jesus even be my first love? Does this even work? I'm not sure what I believe about Jesus. What's it like when he becomes my first love? Let's go ahead and look at 1 John. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 1 today. Open your Bible if you would. 1 John chapter 1, and this will be brief, not real long. But I want you to ask yourself the question. I want you to take time this week and read 1 John chapter 1. Just listen to what John says about Jesus. Here's the first part. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. Say appeared. It appeared. He was born. Christ was born. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which is with the Father, has appeared to us. Here's what he's saying. We've heard it. We heard Jesus. We heard him speak. We saw him. We saw Christ living and breathing and walking, and we touched him. John Stott, Bible scholar, says it like this. To have heard was one thing. People hear God's voice in the Old Testament. To have seen was more compelling, but to have touched was a conclusive proof that the Word became flesh. How many of you here would say, in your relationship with Christ, you feel that in a spiritual way, you've heard him, you've seen him, and you've touched him? Just raise your hand. In a spiritual way, those things have happened. Absolutely. We can know him. He can become our first love in a very compelling way. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. You can have a relationship with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. The idea here is fellowship. Fellowship is a Greek word, koinonia. Why don't you guys say koinonia? It means an intimate, a close relationship, to have that greater than friendship, that close relationship. When Jesus becomes our first love, we have better relationships with each other. Back in July this year, I went to the Philippines, and we actually had 7 different teams working in the Philippines, but I spent a lot of time with 3 of those teams. One of those teams was this team. It was led by my brother Dan, and I spent lots of nights in the same house as them. I ate meals with them. Here's us eating meals. And that team, all the teams really, but that team also created such fellowship. They had such fun together. They had such a great time growing and ministering and seeing God work amongst them, and it was great to see. With that team, there were 3 Filipinos that were helping us and translating and with us. That's them and that picture right there. And that team became so close to the Filipino team with them that we were at the airport leaving. Everyone was in tears, or almost everyone. Lots of tears are being shed because that relationship, that koinonia, that intimacy had developed from working closely together, doing God's work. Koinonia, fellowship. Every week here at church, Wednesday at noon, we have a little special meeting, kind of set aside. And that special meeting, all the pastors here at Spring Hills, we get together in the conference room, we bring our lunch, and we just eat lunch together. There's no big agenda, no big things planned. All the pastors come in, we have our lunches, and we just talk about how you doing, how are you feeling, how's your family, how's it going? And we see in those meetings the koinonia, the fellowship of God, just eating lunch together, seeing God work in that way. I just want to tell you that when you put Christ as your first love, all your relationships improve. You have fellowship with other Christians, and it grows in an amazing way. Second thing we see here beyond fellowship is our joy, that our joy could be complete. When Jesus becomes your first love, you know joy like you never have. That's a question. If you're in this room and at some point you made Jesus your first love, is that true? You have joy like never before? Just raise your hand. Just give testimony to that. Absolutely. We know joy in a brand new way. John continues in this chapter, 1 John 1, 5 through 8. Now, I can read these verses to you, but better than me reading them is to have my daughter Olivia give them to you. This was her part in the Eternity production. I'm just going to have Olivia read these verses. Here she is right here.
This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is the light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. In the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son will cleanse us of all our sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Hey, how about a hand there for Olivia right there? Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the idea. For 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 3 parts. Number 1, if we walk in the light, here's the idea. What is light, Pastor Tom? What does light mean? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He told us to be the light of the world. Well, the light contrasts with darkness. Darkness is hidden sin. Darkness is hidden things. It's evil. But the light is purity. The light is righteousness. The light is the right way. Right. The light is the right way to live. If we walk in the right way before God, doing what God calls us to do, if we live in that right way, nothing hidden, no hidden agendas, no hidden things, walking in the light, then number 2, we have fellowship with one another. Those relationships, they grow and they grow. And number 3, listen, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. All our sin is cleansed and we are clean and righteous before God. How does that happen exactly? How does our sin become cleansed? Here it is right here, 1 John 1:9. If we confess, say confess. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. There are 2 times in your life that you confess your sin. One is when you initially invite Christ into your life. You come to a point in time where you say, you know what? My life is empty and I need God. And I believe God sent his Son Jesus and he died for me on the cross. And then he rose again. And you invite Jesus Christ into your life. He comes in and you confess your sin. And he forgives you of everything. And you begin a relationship with God. This week, during eternity, I love the ending, the invitation. The last scene would happen. And then J.R. Nunez would walk up, eternity director. And he'd give that invitation. And I would always sneak up to about right here. You probably didn't see me. The lights weren't on me. But I'd sneak up to right here. And he was preaching. And I'm watching. And he'd say, if you want to accept Christ, then raise your hand. I'm watching all the hands. And he would count down 3, 2, 1. Hands would go up. I'm watching. And he'd say, come on down. I see people walking down the aisle, and so many of them had tears streaming down their cheeks as they walked up and accepted Christ. They did just this. They confessed their sin. They confessed their sin, and they began a relationship with God. They're saying this, Jesus, be my first love. I confess my sin. Forgive me. I desire a relationship with you. That's the first time that you do it. And then you do it again every time that you sin. Every time you make a mistake, you confess it to God, and it happens again. He's faithful and just and forgives you again and again in your life. I heard a story of someone doing just that. We had rehearsals for Eternity on Thursday night, and I came down to watch and just kind of be part of that process. And I saw a young boy. His name was Lakpa. There he is right there. Another picture of Lakpa. How many of you guys saw Lakpa in the production? Lakpa is from Nepal. He has a little bit of an accent, doesn't speak perfect English, but I just felt drawn to Lakpa, and I began talking to him backstage and asking him about his life, and he began telling me a little bit about his life, and I said, Lakpa, every now and then at church, I shoot a testimony video. Could I get a video of your life story? He said, oh, no, Pastor Tom, no, I cannot do that. No, no, no. My English is not good enough. No, I cannot do it. The next night, I said, Lakpa, I just really want to get a video about your life. Oh, no, Pastor Tom, no, I cannot. No, 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 I cannot do it. The last night, I said, Lakpa, come with me. We're going to shoot a video. So that's what we did. He came back with me. And he sat down, and I got about a three-minute video from 10 minutes of footage down to 3 minutes of Lakpa talking about how he went from living in Nepal as a Buddhist to coming to know Jesus Christ and what it's been like for him to make Christ his first love. Just watch this video. He's not always easy to understand. Just listen carefully. About 3 minutes listening to Lakpa and his life. Here, let's lower the lights down a little bit, Jamie, if you don't mind, and here we go.
Hi, my name is Lakpa, and I was born in Nepal. I grew up in Buddhist family, where we had to practice every day and night. When I was 12 years old, me and my family, we all moved to America. The first time I see a Christian people, I never saw them before. Like, they were out of the world. Like, they were so amazing. Their love toward me and their care. I thought they were totally different people. I could not know what was in them, like, because I was Buddhism probably, that's why, but they were totally amazing, like, so hard to understand them. I was overjoyed, like, I was so excited to go to church. I don't know what was inside me, but I was just so excited to go to church. Like, he heard to put that desire in my heart to go to church. And I didn't know what was in there, but my heart was like, go to church and go to church. And they were talking about Jesus. And one day, soon as we start a fellowship, having fellowship with each other and praising God, and there was a man who came from Cleveland, Ohio, who is a pastor, and he came to Columbus and gave a speech. Like, he was a preacher. He came and he started preaching, and a lot of people went. I don't know, like, a lot of people went in front and they bowed down. And they got prayed. Dad told me to go too. So I was like, okay, like, why should I not receive the Christ? Like, so I had the education of God, like, who is a God? What he has done for me? What is to be in a Christian? What is to be a Christian? I had that education. It's like, there's education, there's a knowledge about God, and there's me. But I did not connect them. Like, I did not attest them. There's a God. I know there is a God. And this is me. I know about God, but I have not received him. It's like, so that's how I received the Christ. Like, now it's like totally different. Like, totally, like, it's like a huge turn. Like, you know, it's amazing. My life is so cool right now. It's all because of God. My life, I can see the purpose of my life right now.
For Lakpa, if you guys don't mind. Absolutely. I love that part. I love that part in the video. Two parts I love. The one was like, he was a preacher. I love that. I just love that part. And then when he's like, you know, there's me, and I had knowledge of God. And there's me, and I have knowledge of me. I felt like he was going to say. But I had never received him. Maybe the same is for you. Maybe you know God's there. You know Jesus Christ is there. But you've never received him. You've never said, Jesus, be my first love. Be the first love of my life. And today, right now, I want to ask you to make one of two decisions. Number one, maybe you've never received Christ, and today is your day. We had a lady last night came and received Christ, and she'd been in church, and she understood church, but she'd never accepted Christ. She'd never put the two together. And maybe that's you right now. Here's Christ, and here's you, and you've got to put them together. That's number one, the first decision. Or others of you that are here, maybe you're a Christian, and you put them together, but somehow Christ has fallen out of being your first love. And today, whether it's at the altar or in your seat or just by bowing your head, you want to pray today and say, Jesus, I want you to be my first love, the first love in my life, more than my family, more than my friends, more than my hobbies, more than my addictions, more than anything else. I want Jesus as my first love. Why don't you bow your heads with me if you would? Just bow your heads. Let me just speak to those right now who are out there that you've never accepted Christ. Just like Lakpa, you have maybe the education, maybe you know who Christ is, or maybe you just heard me talking today, but you know what you desire is a relationship with God, and that by making Christ your first love, it will fill that empty place inside of you as he heals you and works in your life. Right now, I'm just going to ask you, if you're here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Tom, that's me. That's what I want. I want to accept Christ. Hey, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask you right now, just raise your hand. Just say, yeah, that's what I want. Just raise your hand. Raise it real high. That's what I want, Pastor Tom. I want that. I want that relationship with Christ. Hey, your hand's up. Just look at me, if you would. If your hand's up, thanks. I'm just going to walk over here by this door just in a minute. Just come see me. We're going to go back in a counseling room, and we're going to pray together just in a minute. But that's coming just in a second. Others that are here, I do want to invite you as Bobby begins to sing. I want to invite any of you and all of you to come to the altar, kneel at your seat, or just bow your head where you are. And say, Jesus, I want you to be my first love. Nothing else in my life except you. You are my first love. I surrender everything to you, making you my first love. Why don't you all stand right now, if you would, just stand. If you raise your hand, if you want to accept Christ, come see me over here. Others of you, come to the altar, kneel at your seat, bow your head, whatever you want to do. But consider right now making Christ your first love. Unfold a hunger and thirst.
Jesus, breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Like a mighty storm, stir within my soul. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Go ahead and close out our time. How many of you guys were blessed today being in church? Just being in God's house was a blessing. Give God a little, give him a little shout. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we got a special gift for you right here. Go back to the information center, get a special gift from Pastor Coley back there. He'd love to meet you and talk to you. Second of all, we've got a healing prayer team back there. Give them a little wave back there, healing prayer team. Go back, they'll pray for you for anything physical, emotional, happening. To go back and receive some prayer if you'd like. And last of all, I want to give you a special invitation. We've got a class beginning tonight, a four-week class called Fresh Start. Happens right here in this room, 6 o'clock. It's for anyone who wants a fresh start with God. My wife Tracy and I will be leading that class with lots of table leaders as well. And if you come at 6, there's dinner provided, childcare provided. And we've got about 74 registered right now, but we can always have room for you and for more. So come back tonight, 6 o'clock, if you want to be part of that class. And we're just going to pray and say goodbye. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the joy of making Jesus our first love. We thank you, God, for the joy of seeing repentance and seeing people confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And Father, we praise you as we seek to grow in you, making you our first love. We praise you. We thank you. In your name we pray and all say amen. You guys are awesome. Hey, see you next week. Thanks a lot.
Just breathe.